Live on DAB Digital Radio, Colorful.com, and apps. This is Colorful Radio.
Four people have been killed in a shooting in Philadelphia. The police commissioner says two boys, aged 2 and 13, were also injured in the shooting, which occurred yesterday. The suspected gunman was identified as a 40-year-old man and has been arrested, with one other person in custody. The Lord Chancellor has asked the parole board to reconsider its decision to allow double child killer Colin Pitchfork to be released from prison. Pitchfork was jailed for life with a minimum term of 30 years for raping and strangling two 15-year-olds in Leicestershire in the 1980s and was released in September 2021. Andy Murray and Cameron Norrie are both in action on day two of Wimbledon later. Last year's semi-finalist and the two-time champion will be number one court and centre court this afternoon. And Ant and Dec are bringing back popular teen drama Biker Grove for a new series 17 years after it was last broadcast. The new series will see a new generation of teenagers navigating the challenges faced by young adults today and will return under the name Biker. That's the latest from Radio News Hub. I'm Alex Stern.
Tonight's Euro Millions jackpot is £34 million.
Now that calls for a dance, Dermot.
Yeah, I'm not the best dancer.
Hit it! Dip me, Dermot! Dip me like you've never dipped before!
Get that Euro Millions feeling tonight. Euro Millions from the National Lottery. Play on app. Estimated jackpot. Account terms, rules and procedures apply. Players must be 18 or over.
Coming up, Africa in Focus.
As a nation, we're a generous lot. Every day we give in big and little ways. Have you ever given up a seat on the bus to someone in need? Then you're the giving type. Ever helped someone struggling with a bulky buggy down some stairs? Then you're the giving type. Ever given up a Saturday morning to help a mate move into their new place? Then you're the giving type. You could say giving is in our blood. And funnily enough, it's blood we need more people to give to save and improve lives. Sickle cell is a life-threatening condition that requires regular blood transfusions, which mainly affects people of black heritage. We urgently need 12,000 more black blood donors to provide vital treatment for patients with sickle cell. So come on, all you giving types, come and join the thousands giving 1 hour to save up to three lives. If you're the giving type, book now at blood.co.uk.
Live on DAB Digital Radio, Colorful.com, and apps. This is Colorful Radio.
Africa in Focus.
Africa in Focus is sponsored by Dermadew Lotion. Visit dermashark.co.uk.
Colorful.
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 Genius.
Colorful.
Colorful. Colorful Radio.
Good morning, good afternoon, or even good evening, depending on the time. Welcome to Africa in Focus. Wonderful time. And yes, we are coming to you from the heart of London, all the way to wherever you are on Colorful Radio. And today is a fantastic, fantastic day. We have a great man here with us. I see him most of the time. He makes me laugh sometime, but he doesn't know. And today, he has come closer. So if you hear me laugh, just laugh with me, because it means it's time for laughing. Time for laughter. Yeah, so we are honored here in Colorful as we host today MCA.
You're right,
Tricky.
It's MCA.
All the way from Kenya, Nairobi, where he keeps people cracking their ribs and making the sunshine even feel better. Because when people love under the sunshine, it prolongs their life in a way.
That's true.
Laughter is menacing, and they say.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, so it's MCA Tricky. He's one of the leading comedians in Kenya, but he has done a lot of different things as well. And that's why we are here with him to talk to him. Welcome to the show. Welcome to Colorful Radio.
Thank you.
And Africa in Focus at large.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, so it's great honor to have you around. We just want to kick off our show, of course. Yeah, say hello to our listeners who are scattered across the globe.
Wow. Hello to our beloved listeners. My name is MC Etriki. I'm a comedian from Kenya, Nairobi. And here I am, live from London.
Great, great, great. Been in London many times, or
Maybe through dreams, but they finally come true. This is my first time in the United Kingdom.
Wow!
Yeah,
it's amazing. It's amazing.
Yeah, amazing.
And how do you like your weather? Our weather.
I don't like your weather. It's too cold. Oh my goodness! I hear summer has just begun, but. Yep. I don't find summer here.
You can't see it.
I can't
you can't
see summer.
Put your finger on it.
It's cold. Man, it's cold, but not that cold. But yeah. At least I'm loving everything around. It's not that cold. I don't see the snow that we always see on TV.
Yeah, let me surprise you. Sometimes it gets cold. Colder than this.
Okay.
And while you are saying it's too cold, I think today is almost 20 Celsius or even 15. I haven't checked the weather. But sometime. We are wishing it's zero. It's just zero because it's negative.
So
negative six. We are hoping for a zero, man.
0 degrees. Zero.
That would be good for
How
us.
How do you survive?
It's better than negative.
Oh, my goodness. We are used to 20 degrees Celsius. When it's cold in Nairobi, it's 18 degrees Celsius.
18. That's summer for us.
That's summer for you. Oh, my goodness.
That's
we are sorry.
It's a great place to be. London is cool. One of the big capitals of the world. Maybe soon Nairobi will be bigger.
Yeah, Nairobi.
It's catching up.
We are catching up.
It's catching up.
Very fast.
Yeah, very fast.
Yes.
Yeah, so it's fantastic to have you. And yeah, probably to our listeners, they don't know where you began.
Sure.
And let's even go straight to the name. Why MCA Tricky? How did that come?
Let's start with the Tricky.
Tricky.
Tricky was a name which was born through my friends' circles and all that. During our hangouts, I used to make fun of guys, even before I became a professional comedian. And then it was a very, it was a tagline that I love to use. When I'm chatting with you and something happens or else I crack something funny, then I would have it at the end of the statement. You need tricky son.
Okay, so okay.
That was the tricky one.
Yeah.
Now it started there. That was when I was in Kenyatta University.
Yeah.
Now the MCA one. MCA was it was a kind of I picked that name because at that moment when I was starting comedy in Churchill Show, it is at the same time when we were having the new system of governance in our country. And it was then that we were introducing governors, senators, and then the list of the representatives is called an MCA in our country.
Yeah.
So because I was a list in Churchill Show of representatives of my circles of friends, then I called myself MCA. But again, MCA doubled as an acronym to Member of Chokora Assembly.
Wow.
I know the Chokora part. Mm. Most people don't understand what Chokora is. I don't know.
It's a street tune.
It's a street. Yeah. It's a street guy. Mm. Yeah. So the Member of Chokora Assembly.
Okay.
That is the MCA part of it. So my
metaphorically speaking.
Yes.
You're representing these guys.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. And by representing the street guys doesn't mean exactly just the Chokoras alone.
Yeah.
I was representing anybody who got dreams, but he's in shambles at the moment. Yeah.
They have the dreams,
yeah.
But the dreams have not happened.
Have not happened.
And some have been dashed.
Some, yes, exactly. So those
looking
are the guys.
Others.
That, yes.
Yeah.
I was inspired and I thought, why should I not represent such guys who have great dreams, but at the moment they can't see any light?
Wow. No, it's a great mission. It's
sure.
a great mission. And sure. It's been
then,
really cool.
MCA Tricky was born.
Yeah.
The brand MCA Tricky.
Wow, amazing. No, it's been a huge brand.
Thank you.
And a lot of people have watched you. And I quite love the way you craft humor with the originality. And when you start to talk, you don't know where you're heading with that one. But it ends up being very funny and amazing.
Thank you.
So probably then... tell us about your background, like when your beginnings, early beginnings, humble beginnings, early beginnings.
First of all, my name is Francis Munyao. That is my real name. MCA Tricky is just my brand. Francis Munyao is a last born of a family of five. My dad and my mom and my two siblings, one sister our eldest, and the second born, my brother. And now here comes the not last born. A small family. I grew up. I was born in a small county in Kenya. Small geographically, but it's big in terms of developments. Big up to my Governor Mutula. Governor Mutula.
Yeah.
Superman. Thank you. Is Makueni County. That's when where I'm born and raised at an early age. But then I moved to Nairobi when I was still a teenager. I moved to Nairobi, and I moved there with some hope that I will live there with my relatives and life will be good. You know, when you're moving from the up country and come into a city, you have big dreams. And you get to the city and find that your dreams are just yours. No one cares.
They're not connecting.
No one cares.
Anybody.
Really, when I was young, life was tough, even from home. I know you understand what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
When you find yourself in a family where both parents are just depending on God's mercies, no formal employment, no stable economic activity. You know, Makueni County is a semi-arid.
It is semi-arid. Yeah,
no rain, so no agriculture. No employment. It's just casual jobs here and there, getting even less than a dollar. Yeah. So finding yourself in such a situation is a bit confusing, and it still happens even to date. So for me, that's the kind of environment that I was born in. But I appreciate God that at least I was born there. And that's one of the reasons and inspirations that have kept me going even to date. So at that point, I had done my, let me pick it up from after doing our private level education. I was very bright in class. Yeah. So at least for myself, I had secured myself some scholarships at a very young age. Yeah. So a very good school, Kiambani Primary School, gave me the scholarship. I finished my primary school successfully, and I passed well. After primary school, I again secured another scholarship at a secondary school, which was now in Nairobi. That's when I moved to Nairobi. A school which was in Karen, Maasai High School, sort of a private school. But now, something rather tragic happened in the middle of my secondary school studies. When we are in my second year, the scholarship was cut short. Due to, you know, the investor of the school just changed their mind, and you know, you can't control that. And that's when I dropped out of school for nearly a year. And now, this member of Chokorapa, that's now when it happened.
Wow.
In Nairobi.
Okay. So, probably it's just not a story. Some people think it's just a story. They think it's just a character.
It's a character. Mm. At the moment I was doing the character, I wasn't in the streets, but it was it was like a reflection of something that I had seen and experienced. So it was at this point, I was young. I was still young. Back in my country, in our education system, I was in Form 2. When I dropped out of school, I couldn't go back to the village because I knew in the village things were tougher. Even more than in the city. So I started hustling myself in the city, looking for something to eat any day, looking somewhere to just shelter myself. And it happens to many people, even to date. So guys are just there. You don't know where you're going to sleep at night. You don't know what to eat the next day. And that was me at a very young age in the streets of Nairobi. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. And God came through again. I was very passionate with education.
How was it first? Was it like, just share with us a bit of that experience. It's a safety. Did you feel safe?
The streets of Nairobi
are how dangerous. Was
are
it?
Never safe.
You get exposed
to anything.
The
streets of Nairobi were never safe. They were never safe. But at least, again, when you're in the streets, you have to learn your ways. Correct. If you are doing the right thing, then you'll be safe. But if you're doing the wrong thing in the streets, you won't be safe. You understand that? So I knew I was doing the right thing. I knew I had nothing to be blamed on. So I'm just here to survive. Then nobody is coming for you. The police won't come for you. No thugs won't come for you. They know you. They know. But if you're doing the wrong thing there, people will come for you. Even mob justice, you know, the police will be there for you. So at least for me, I was just surviving. And at some point, I got a family in the streets that could maybe help me in one way or the other. We got some casual jobs here and there in the markets. You know Muthurwa Market?
Yeah, Muthurwa Market, I know. Nairobi?
We used to ferry some cabbages and vegetables around, and you get your shillings and you get to feed. And that is life. So at some point, after like 4-5 months, I was kind of becoming comfortable in the streets, you know?
This is Colorful Radio.
During life, your skin is subject to many conditions, leaving your skin rougher and tighter. We want to help. At DermaShack, our unique formula provides day-to-day moisture for all skin types. Our signature cream, DermaDew, is a cream that can be used for both specific areas of dry skin and as a daily moisturizer. So why don't you try our cream, DermaDew? An intense rehydration cream that leaves your skin like silk. Please go to our website, dermashack.co.uk, to see our skincare range and begin your journey into total moisturization. DermaDew, total body cream, complete moisturization.
Yeah, wow. With my circle of friends. But then, at that point, something different kind of happened in my life. That's when I noticed I had something in me to do with art. And when I was there, I joined a theater group. I will call it a theater group, but a traveling theater group. We have lots of them.
On the street?
Yes, we have lots of them in the streets, even to date. Where guys come together, you feel like you can be an acrobat, you feel you can be an actor, you feel like you can narrate something. We come together, pull up something, some script, and then we package it well, and we go out there to schools, primary schools. You package some set books, we call the literature books that are being studied there. You package yourself well. You go to institutions. You perform there. You get paid. And that's a better job than the ferrying of these cabbages and fish.
Yeah, sure.
You understand?
Yeah.
So that's how now I have this transition from the Muthurwa Market and everything, everybody's shouting, to now doing something that I'm passionate in. So I meet these friends, a very small group, traveling group, and they give me a role. Remember, I'm young. Yeah. I don't even know, but I'm there. I'm available and I'm reliable. So why not? So we used to collect those shillings from primary schools around Nairobi.
Wow.
Yeah, at that point. Mm-hmm. Then it reached a point nearly the end of that year. That was the year 2008. At least now I'm living a kind of better life, because it was pain, at least.
Yeah.
At least. Not paying much money, but yeah. At least. Something came up, and I just asked myself, okay, now I'm doing this. What about the future? That's when you remember, I'm still young.
Yeah.
I can't make sound decisions. But then I had to make a decision that I need to go back to school.
Yeah.
I need to go and finish up this, you know, secondary school. But you see, I can't afford fees for myself. I will tell you something. All this time, from February, March, to later on in the year, like October, November, all that time, my parents at home are assuming that I'm in school.
Because, oh, they didn't know?
Yes.
Wow.
Because the school that we were having the scholarship in, they were giving us an opportunity to stay in the school even during holidays.
Okay.
Yeah. And that time, you remember very well, back in our country, we didn't have these mobile phones to just check up on anybody anytime you want. No. Yeah, you understand. So they just had an assumption that our son is safe.
It's okay. It's in school.
Because it was a good school. It was a very good school, by the way. So they were very sure that, our son is good, so we don't need to worry, and we are sure that he's good. that all that time, they don't know. So one day I just appear home, and then I tell my dad, you know what, I'm just from school and something has happened, so I'm out. I didn't tell them that I'm from the streets.
Yeah, wow.
But they could notice. They could notice. No, no, no. Are you sure you're from school? But I'm from school. I didn't want to burden them with all this, you know, telling your mom about, oh, I have been going through hell in Nairobi, you know, in the village life already is hell, you know.
Yeah.
So I didn't want to burden them with all that. So when I got back to the village, the same year, I had to cycle around to even look for another school to proceed myself with my dad, because my dad couldn't raise anything. At that time, my elder siblings were still in high school, so they were completing. My dad could not really afford fees for 3 kids in school. It was tough. My sister stayed home all through because lack of fees. My elder brother stayed home all that time. But because I had that passion and I had that dream, I had to go and look for a scholarship for myself again, because I had good grades back in my school. So I walked around Makueni County, and lucky enough, some gentleman saw my cry, and he welcomed me in his school, and I got another scholarship.
Wow, yes. That was good.
Yes, it's a school. Kiangini si Makueni. Okay. I will mention it in this big radio.
Yeah,
because
it's
they
good.
Did well.
Yeah, they did.
A big shout out to Mr. Munyao, Mr. DK Munyao.
Yeah,
God bless you, wherever you are. He listened to us and gave me another scholarship.
Yeah,
that was then. I'm completing Form 2. Yeah. I just found the other kids are done their midterm exam, who had sitting at the end of term exam. Long story short, I get to the school. Now I'm in Form 3, still in a scholarship. I thank God. When I was in Form 3, this, of course, it's a village school. It's not performing well. No facilities or nothing. But I have big dreams. I used to write my dreams in a book. I used to write, even to date, I have that book. I had written my dreams that I want to become an engineer one day.
Wow.
Had written them down. Yeah. Even the universities, I used to do that. I was very bright. Let me repeat that.
That was brilliant.
Yeah. In that school, I used to top. Every teacher liked me. Everybody liked me. I was famous in the school because I was very tiny. I was a tiny, bright boy. In fact, they used to say I had done my Form 4, so I'm coming back to Form 2. That's why I'm that bright, because I used to have a big gap between position 1 and the next person.
Yeah.
A very big gap. So while I was there, I had, just through rumors and through friends, I heard that the school that we were in, Nairobi, that guy, the owner of the school, had announced that he's welcoming scholarships again.
Wow.
Then I said, oh my goodness, that is a school, because it was a big school.
Yeah.
It was a big school, really. Maasai High School was a big school. We used to compete with the highest schools in Nairobi, like Starehe Boys, Alliance. Yeah, we used to compete with them. And so you know what I did? I asked for some 500 Kenya shillings. I don't know how that is equivalent to pounds or dollars.
It's just about 2 pounds. And
2 pounds. I asked for 2 pounds from that school principal. And I had to cook a story, because I didn't want him to know that I was really trying to go back to that other school, because he really liked me. I had to sneak out. I just told him that I need some 2 pounds to go just get some new uniform or something. Then he gave me. I boarded a matatu, a bus from Makueni, and back to the school.
In Nairobi?
Yes, in Nairobi. I went there. I remember I said around 10 prayers in the bus, because I didn't even have bus fare back.
Oh.
I had a one-way bus fare.
Traveling by faith.
Traveling by faith. I'm a Catholic. I must say this. I had my rosary beads 10 times. True story. Some of these things I'm telling you, I've never shared with anybody.
Yeah.
Even my parents. Yeah. So I get to the school. I explain myself to the secretaries. I remember it was during a holiday again.
Yeah.
And I tell them I'm a bright student and I need your scholarship back.
Yeah.
And funny enough, the owner of the school was just around. And he saw me, I was disturbed. He asked me, what's the problem, young man? And I told him everything. You know what he did? He admitted me immediately.
Right away?
Yes.
Wow.
That was in Form 3, mid-year.
Wow.
So I get back to Maasai Boys.
Yeah.
And I thank God. And because I was a bright student, I thanked him because I knew right away that now I'm getting back to my dreams.
You are back on track.
You can imagine I'm back to secondary school. I still have the experiences of the streets life in my head.
Yeah.
So sometimes I'm seated in class, but I'm just like feeling like I should go out there and have some fun, you know.
So, push some cocotine.
Yeah, and just have a, you know, free world. You know, school life and free world are two different
things. Two different.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I really prayed and I remained focused. So that's why I completed my Form 4. And again, I passed well.
Well, that was good.
So I passed. I had a grade A.
This was fantastic performance.
Then from that, that's how my life, I can say it's changed. Because in Kenya, at least when you have an A grade, at least you can't miss an opportunity or two. Even being a temporary teacher in some private institution and all that. So I started hustling from that point, and life at least changed. And that's when I started changing the lives of my people, my parents, and myself. Then I get admitted in Kenyatta University to study mechanical engineering.
That was good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. I think that's enough background now.
Mechanical engineering.
Yes.
You see, let me tell you something. Whenever people see what you're doing, making people laugh.
Yes.
They always think, that's a story. That's it. But behind the scene, they don't know there's a huge
there's a lot.
Other story.
There's a lot.
Sometimes they think, making people laugh is not a professional, it's not professional enough. Some people have all this funny perception.
Sure.
And they look at it in a very casual way.
Mm.
I've seen some people, like, they know you are a comedian. They just come and stand next to you and say, make me laugh.
Make me laugh. Yeah.
Sometimes if I'm the one, I'm like, just laugh. It's
just
free.
Just laugh. It's free. Just laugh. Just like walking in, or just like meeting a doctor and telling him, please treat me.
What are you suffering from?
Or walk into the police and telling them, arrest me, sir.
Exactly.
Yeah, I understand you. It happens. People think that being a comedian is just a by the way.
It's just a by the way.
They think that we just had nothing else to do.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That's what sometimes people think.
Which is a very, very wrong perception.
It's totally wrong.
Yeah.
It's a skill. It's a career.
Sure.
It's a talent.
Sure.
It's not every time that you can make people laugh.
Sure.
And it comes with a lot of creativity behind.
A lot of creativity, a lot of input.
A lot of thinking as well.
Mm.
So it's amazing.
Sure.
It's just amazing.
Colorful radio.
So you are done with the mechanical engineering. Now you...
Have you used it? That is Kenyatta University. I graduated in the year 2019, just before Corona hit.
Oh, no.
I got my degree,
mechanical
engineering. I thank God for that because, of course, I struggled a lot to get that degree because balancing between.
Yeah.
Remember, I joined now professional comedy when I was in KU.
Yeah.
After second year.
Okay. Yeah.
Then I joined Churchill Show when I was third year.
Okay.
When I was joining Churchill Show, nobody really knew except my few circle of schoolmates. Nobody really knew that MC Tricky can be in a class. I've used the word can.
Yeah, it's true.
Because now I join Churchill Show with the character of the street
guy.
Can
you imagine? That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
When people look at you, look, there's something we share in common. As a former actor, right?
Sure, yeah.
Yeah, how I used to see how people react to you based on what the character you play.
Sure.
I remember one time my colleague, when we were doing Tahamaki, this Swahili detective series.
Yes, back then.
And my colleague was seen actually committing murder. It's a movie.
It's
movie. Acting. But we went to a place in Nairobi known as California.
I know California.
And we went to a butchery just to buy meat. And I saw the lady selling the meat, telling our friends,
yeah,
Hold on to the phone.
There's a murderer approaching.
Call the police. I saw him do it last night.
You know, sometimes you will do a character so perfect on TV, yeah, that people,
yeah,
will really relate you to that character, and they don't want to hear anything else apart from that character.
They know you.
Yeah,
they've seen you.
There is a case of a very famous actor from Nigeria.
Yeah,
she's a lady. We used to watch movies. Very famous. She was always that lady that everybody watching the movie doesn't like. Do you know that translated into her real life? Yes. The other day she was in Nairobi, she was telling us that story, that even to date, people see her in the streets and they just feel like, no.
Wow.
Just because she...
That's
I think she's Patience. Yeah. She's called Patience. Oh, I don't remember the Nigerian name, but she's somebody's Patience.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, so when I joined Churchill Show, most people really believe that, oh, this guy is still in the streets. This guy didn't even go to school. He doesn't know everything. But they love me so much because what I did, the reasons why I chose that character is because I had studied our Kenyan comedy style. I had seen everybody getting on stage, how the audience is reacting to them. Then I chose that purposely, because I wanted to represent those guys who everybody just ignores everywhere.
Yeah.
So you understand. You see a street urchin somewhere, you just ignore them.
Yeah, yeah.
You see somebody struggling somewhere, you just ignore them.
Yeah.
You see somebody with tattered clothes, you just ignore them. Yeah. You don't know the story behind that.
You don't.
You just assume that
he
may be stupid, he doesn't know how to make plans, he doesn't know how to plan himself well. No. Some people know how to plan themselves. Only that fate landed them there.
It's just fate.
Yes.
Things you can't control.
Yes. If I tell you, walk in the streets of even London and look for anybody who is going through hell and really sit them down and talk to them and they tell you why they are there, you'll be shocked.
You'll be shocked.
Yeah.
Some
now, people don't know that.
Successful people.
Yes.
Very rich.
Very rich.
But one day, mismanagement of finance.
Maybe.
Costed their houses to be sold.
Or maybe.
Ended up being bankrupt.
Yeah. Or maybe a family member fell sick.
Yeah.
They sold everything to keep him alive.
Exactly.
Everything was gone and they're in the streets.
I'll never forget. Mm. This one time I was just where we live in Nairobi. Of course, you have security.
Yes.
And then at a funny corner next to a bin, I've just parked the car. And
okay.
I saw this gentleman just sitting next to the bin. And as I was walking away, I spoke to the security. I said to them, oh, there's a guy there. You just need to find out why is he there and is he okay?
Sure.
And they said to me, I'll never forget this, we know him.
Hmm.
I'm like, you know him? Okay.
That's funny. You know him.
And is he okay then? And they say to me, he usually comes there at about 9. Why? Because that's the moment a lot of people throw their rubbish.
Oh.
And he's just looking for something to eat. And he does that every time. And they know him.
They know him.
And he walks away.
And he just walks away.
He lives. He doesn't harm anyone.
Mm.
He doesn't attack anyone.
Sure.
So when I heard that, I'm speaking to security. I went back to him. I didn't tell him I spoke with security.
Okay.
I think I had a carrier bag with water, drink, and a few other things. And I went and I found him looking for a bottle to go and collect water, but the tap was not working.
Okay.
So I gave him everything. I said to him, don't worry, don't look for any water.
Okay.
I have this. I saw him shed a tear. And I was like, are you sure you're okay? And he said to me, you don't know what you have done. I had some money. I gave him some money.
Mm-hmm.
And I saw him shed a tear. He said to me, you don't know what you have just done. God bless you. And I'm just thinking, how often does it happen? Because we just look at people.
Sure.
We don't talk to them. We just judge. We just judge.
Yeah.
And we box them.
Yeah.
And we call them name like a street boy, street man, street chunk,
boy. All this. Yeah.
And it ends there. If you were to talk to these people,
you'll be shocked.
You'll be shocked.
Yeah.
You'll be shocked. Mm-hmm. And I quite respect your character. But yes, I know it will cost you because in that society of ours, African society.
Sure.
Yeah.
But I had to pick that. It was a hard decision.
Yeah.
At some point, it was a discussion, even in our show.
Yeah.
If I should do it.
Yeah.
But then I told them that I want to shout out Churchill because he really supported me when I was starting. And he really believed in me. And people loved me. The audience loved me more than even another comedian
exactly.
in the show. The reason why they loved me is because, in fact, they even loved me more when they learned that I'm a mechanical engineer.
Exactly.
And told me, Tricky, you shed off your flashy mechanical engineering and all that thing and all that. You know, when you become an engineer in our country, you are a big person. You're a big deal.
Every and home, you're inspired.
But now,
you want an engineer in the family, a doctor in the family.
Yes, but I had to shed off that engineering thing and come down and use art to inspire. Because engineering is engineering. That is for Francis Munyao. But for my brand, MC Tricky, my purpose was not just to make people laugh. It was to tell a story. And it's really a story now that even because through that comedy, I told my story in the streets. And then after telling my story, I still can tell my story about engineering. So if you can connect the two, then you can get inspired. Yeah. Young people down there, they're very much inspired and they really love me. As we speak, I am a goodwill ambassador to one of the biggest foundations, those who support education in our country. They are global.
That's good.
Kenya Education Fund. I am the goodwill ambassador. Why? Because I want to inspire. Because they pick kids like me 20 years ago.
Yeah.
They pick them and they show them that it's possible.
Yeah.
You want to get there, you will get there.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter what you're going through now.
And we can show you someone who has gone through the
because
journey.
Somebody trusted me and believed in me. Those head teachers who really believed in me. It might have looked just a small help to them, but to me, it really changed my life. Yeah.
What do you think our society is like when it comes to homeless children, homeless people? Where are we getting things wrong? I mean, for you, speaking from this character that you represent.
Sure.
Are there things we can do better?
I not only represent it. There's a time I had even these discussions with even our government representatives and the authorities back in Nairobi, and we did some 1-2 where we could, and we did some research on why this happens and what solution can be offered to that. But what I can say from my experience is that street life, most of the times, will always be there. It all depends on, is it a transition period or is it a permanent period? If it's a transition period, then well and good. By transition, I mean, if this person in the street is just been there for a moment and then move on, then that is okay. Rather than being in the street and that's the end of the road, no. That's bad. For me, I shared that life, but it was a transition that opened my mind, opened my eyes. It made me who I am today. So the factors that we were discussing and actually looking at were things like, they are what we call the pull-in factors and the pull-out factors. Why do we have these people in the streets, first of all? Some of them, and most of them, it's not really their fault at all. Some of them are in the streets because of domestic violence. Some of them are orphans. You understand?
Yeah.
Some of them are, some of them are from, let's say, civil wars. You will never understand. It's not all about them. It's not them to blame. Some kid is in the street because both parents just disappeared. Some of them are victims of parents having succumbed to HIV, you understand? Those are the pulling factors, things that make those kids come to the city because they want to seek refuge.
Yeah,
that's where they can be safe because there are lots of people. You know, from experience, guys tuned into this interview expecting to laugh, but it's becoming emotional. Sorry.
We just came to tell them.
Okay.
Laughing is free.
Laughing is free, guys.
Just laugh.
Just laugh. Whenever I mention the word street, just laugh. One big attribute of life that people don't appreciate is freedom and company. Company means when we are many, you will always feel safe. If you remain in a pushy mansionette alone, you will feel so bad. You won't enjoy life. So that's why those kids come to the city and they want to see everybody walking around them, and they feel home. It doesn't matter whether they are hungry or they are good. But when you see people around you, you feel good. It's not like when you're caged somewhere and everything bad is happening to you when you're in just a room. So that's why they come out there to just... You know, you understand that, eh?
Yeah,
that kind of freedom and company is very important for them.
Yeah.
So, all I can urge all the authorities is, if there's a way that we can make street life a transition thing, that could be very good. That we can tap into those kids there and show them the outlets of coming out of the city or doing something else or becoming better people through many ways. Yeah, that would be very fantastic.
Wow.
It doesn't matter... How many kids you pick? Pick one from the street. Another person picks another one. Another government authority picks another one. Another one picks another one. And then at the end of the day, we'll be very few remaining. Yeah. Just like Maasai High School and Mr. DK Munyao picked me. We can do that. Yeah.
And the rest is it. Today, if
sure.
you look back, you're like, okay.
Mm.
They did a good job.
They did
pick
a
you up.
Good job. Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
Sure.
So let's talk about now comedy. What inspires your comedy? As for me, I've seen comical moments. As a Kenyan coming to the UK,
yeah,
I could see different things which were so funny. Based on our culture.
Our culture.
Based on our knowledge.
What happens around us.
Where we are coming from.
Mm.
And maybe I may give you an example. There's a lady who, okay, before you left Kenya those days,
yes.
to come, they used to hold a briefing. You're given instructions, very strong instructions,
yes.
to follow, to abide, telling
when
you what,
come
is,
to
what
UK,
works.
Yeah.
Yeah. What works?
Yes, don't talk to anyone, just hang out.
So there was this girl, she was told, in the UK, for
yeah.
example,
okay.
when you go there,
yeah.
they use pounds. Nothing
okay.
else.
They use pounds.
Only British pounds.
Uh-huh.
Nothing else.
Okay.
Only British. No shillings.
No shillings.
No dollars.
No dollars.
Only British pounds.
Pounds.
Mm-hmm. And that was like a rule. Do you understand? Okay.
Okay.
Yeah. Here she comes. She goes to supermarket with a basket, fills up everything, goes to pay. Cashier comes after scanning everything.
Yeah.
And say, how much is it? And the cashier in a very... London street English.
English. London.
It's only 20 quid.
I said, what? 20 what?
20 quid. She was like, she didn't say a word.
Oh my goodness.
She took the basket, put the things back, took them back to the shelf.
20 queens.
And next thing she's
queen?
On the phone. Back to Kenya. You guys told me.
It's
they
pounds.
Use British pounds. Now they're talking about queens. I don't even know how a
queen looks like. So, oh my goodness. Wait a minute. Eh? That's so funny. But at the same time, I didn't also know that it's nothing to do with a queen.
It's like when
so you guys...
When you come to Kenya, instead of saying 5 shillings, you can say kombore.
Oh,
it's the same way.
It's the same
you have
way.
The street language.
Ni kama kusema
the normal language.
Chwani is 50 bob.
Exactly.
Oh. So queens
is another word for pounds.
For pounds. Oh my goodness, I've learned something new. Oh guys, yo, I got 3 queens in my pocket. I got 3 queens in my wallet. That's cool. That's good.
So we suffer.
During life, your skin is subject to many conditions, leaving your skin rougher and tighter. We want to help. At DermaShack, our unique formula provides day-to-day moisture for all skin types. Our signature cream, Dermadew, is a cream that can be used for both specific areas of dry skin and as a daily moisturizer. So why don't you try our cream, Dermadew, an intense rehydration cream that leaves your skin like silk. Please go to our website, dermashack.co.uk, to see our skincare range and begin your journey into total moisturization. Dermadew, total body cream, complete moisturization.
For lack
sure.
of knowledge.
Sure.
Yeah?
Sure. I understand where...
And then they see during... when Kenya was in a bit of dictatorship, right?
Yes.
Leaving the country was like going out of jail.
Oh, yeah.
You had to pay security bond to leave the country.
To leave the country?
Oh, yes.
Oh, my goodness.
I paid security bond.
I remember those
bond.
Days, eh?
I paid security bond to leave Kenya. And I was not a criminal. I was just coming for further studies.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness.
But how they used to work those days.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. They call you in Ministry of Education. Mm-hmm. They give you instruction. Very strong instruction. You know, if you go to the UK.
Yes.
There's an underground movement there. Mwa Kenya. You know, like, it's an underground movement. It was like a group of people planning and orchestrating to overthrow the good government of the country.
Okay.
That was the meaning.
Okay.
So you are warned when you are leaving. When you go to the UK.
They weren't talking about the...
No.
The underground
totally
trains.
Totally different. Meaning 100% different. Yeah? So they are warning you. When you go to that country, don't you ever join any
underground movement.
Otherwise, and then our men are there.
Yeah. They're watching.
Back.
Then you get to the UK.
You'll be in trouble. We have our men there. Yeah? So your poor students comes, Heathrow Airport.
And then?
Oh, how do I get to Central London?
They are told
and
to use
it. And goes, sees a police officer. Excuse me, sir. How can I get to Central London? And this police officer is like, if you are rich, take a cab.
But if you're not.
We can use a gas.
Underground.
Oh, we can use our wonderful underground. It's the best.
Say no.
My government wants
this guy,
me.
This guy got jokes, man. This guy got jokes. This guy got jokes.
My government wants me.
Oh, my goodness.
Never to join any underground movement.
Oh, my goodness. I can imagine same student being given instructions about the pounds and the underground movement. Heads to the airport, being told that use our underground movement and pay using Queens.
That's even worse. So she was like, my government wants me.
Oh, my goodness.
Police officer is left thinking, which country would tell their citizen not to use our underground? And she would see the trains come and go.
That's interesting.
In the end, she ended up just waiting and looking for a bus because she was avoiding using
the underground.
Because even in her head,
movement.
These underground trains, maybe they lead to the other underground.
Underground groups.
Where you are likely to be arrested.
Oh, my goodness.
And taken back to be detained without trial. Oh.
I like how you've made the observations from our country. And what happens here, and how they relate.
No, we suffer.
That's cool.
My good people.
Okay.
So we suffer.
Wow.
So that's, I mean, I observe. I just look around what's happening.
So cool.
What inspires your
comment? Yeah. So for me, what inspires my comedy, I think it's... just like you've established it, it's just a way of life that we go through every day. Because once you talk about that, then it's easy to tease guys, to relate and laugh. Rather than fetching some jokes from some other world and bringing them to people and make them understand what you're talking about, it's hard. So you better relate to people. You better just make it easy.
Yeah.
Better just come to London and just make them relate. Make them understand that we also have our language and they should learn it.
Yeah, exactly.
It's not all the way that we learn theirs. Yeah, they don't want us to learn.
And ours.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Something that we experience, that we go to school and learn their language. They go to school, they don't learn our language.
Yeah.
They come to our country, they don't want to learn Kikamba. Well, imagine, Kama, if this white guys would be speaking Kikamba.
The mistakes they make.
The same mistakes we make when we're trying to speak their language.
Yeah, they make the same.
The same mistakes, so we'll be wondering.
Yeah.
Why? That's what inspires me. Let's talk about what we go through every day.
Yeah.
Let's just take... like for me, MC a tricky when you're on stage, I give people my stories.
Yeah.
And most of them are true experiences, only that they just have punchlines here and there. But most of them, even the scripts that I'm preparing, even here in London and in the UK, they're just my own experiences.
Yeah.
Different experiences here and there, how I see things, how I observe them, tease guys to even think about the future. How about this? You understand?
Yeah.
Yeah. Comedy is also a form of art that we should use to also make guys think, not only laughing.
Yeah, sure.
It's not a laughing matter. Mm. Comedy is not a laughing
educate.
Matter.
Yeah.
Yeah. Educate and challenge guys.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah, I saw you at rugby joke.
The rugby joke. You remember that?
You can share. Share with me. I don't want to be the one
who says. No, it's in my store. No, come to my show. I'll share it there. Oh, my goodness. That was a real experience. Eh?
Yeah.
And that's what happens in the streets of Nairobi.
Yeah.
You're talking about the rugby joke. Eh?
Yeah,
why
yeah,
they play that
ball. Exactly. They run the ball.
They run the ball. Yeah. I was telling my audience that we that rugby rugby thing we... We used to do it a lot in the streets because that's how that's the only way that you can really make a successful
rugby player. Rugby player, maybe.
Successful robbery in the streets.
Yeah. Okay.
You
okay.
Grab
robbery. Okay. Grab and
you
run.
Grab. You don't run with it, eh? Because the mob justice is after you.
Yeah.
So you have to release it. The next counterpart,
the next player.
He grabs it when guys are they're just trying to grab him, releases to the next person, and within 1 minute, the final guy, what do we call the final rugby player who goes and places it?
He's gone, he's the one to score.
Very interesting. That's a game that we used to play in the streets when, ladies walk in the street and the handbag is no longer in our shoulder.
Yeah.
The next 1 minute, it's 1 kilometer away from her, and the person who snatched the handbag is still standing beside her.
Yeah.
So
as if nothing happened.
Nothing
because
happened.
Of the teamwork.
The teamwork. Calculative teamwork.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. No, you see, one of the things you find that with, for example, Kenya.
Okay.
Kamba, as well, language is always amazing.
Okay.
You find that they use the Kambas also try to speak English.
Yes.
But it didn't work. There was an accident. And that accident created iconic names we have today.
Yes, like Churchill, big up. Thank you.
You should.
Sure.
And of course, maybe lastly, how that connection of Churchill came and what it means to you today.
Churchill Shaw means everything to me. I can say that because it changed all dimensions of my life. Now, when I say all, education is included because it's through that Churchill Shaw that I have been able to pay for my fees through the university, and also I'll be coming back to that. So, Churchill Shaw, it's the biggest show I can say in Africa, comedy show. And to join Churchill Shaw, all you need to do is just to get to the auditions. So they have designated areas or else venues for auditions. So I had to go there, just like another person. I went to the auditions, and I didn't really struggle much because they admitted me really within a short span of time. And there I was. Now, when Churchill admits you, it is not him to make you big. It is you to convince the audience that you want to become big, or else be big. So I had that. And I really want to thank my audience from day one, because they really believed in me and they really loved my style of comedy. They loved my style of jokes. I used to do, you know, there are different types of comedy. I had done my good research. So I settled for, I will be that kind of comedian who will be giving stories. Stories with funny moments. That one will be easy. I would stand on stage on Churchill Show and perform for 20, 30 minutes. You know, in Churchill Show, we are a lineup of very many comedians, and we are only given some few minutes to make them laugh. So most of the comedians used to use what we call the punchline comedy. That kind of, you have just five strong punchlines. You get there, different topics, have them, ta, 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 then audience wows, you move out of stage. But for me, it was different. I didn't want to go that way. I wanted to tell them stories. So every day was a story day, a very funny story day. One day, I'm giving them a story about how I visited Parliament. The other day is a story about how I went to a supermarket, what I experienced there, about their trolleys, those supermarket trolleys. They don't do the aligning of the trolleys. You are pushing a trolley, it's pushing you away.
Oh, yeah.
You understand? Yeah. I'm giving them experiences about how I'm going to buy an innerwear in the supermarket. When I get to the, you know, in Kenya, it's not like in the UK where you don't have supermarket attendants. In Kenya, it's somebody seated, receiving you, whatever you're buying, scanning them, and you're paying them. Then you're there, he's holding your innerwear up, and the scanning machine has just stopped working. Everybody in the supermarket is seeing what you've just bought, looking at you and wondering, why would a man buy a pink underwear? You understand?
It's embarrassing.
Why? Very embarrassing. And those supermarket attendants in our country, they call for some anonymous code from somebody, the manager of somebody. Mm. Hey, Mwangi, let a code. Mwangi takes 15 minutes to bring their code. And that supermarket teller is still holding your inner ear, trying to scan it.
And before you leave the shop,
everybody just knows that that gentleman has a pink underwear.
Next time they meet you on the street.
On the street, yeah. Oh,
they can't even tell you.
You're the pink underwear guy.
Oh, dear.
You understand? Mm-hmm. It happens to everybody.
Yeah.
Especially in my country because... Mm. Yeah, so... Those are the kind of the stories that I give. Yeah. Every day was a story day in my shows. Mm. I go there, I give them a story, my experiences of what I went through, and then I would make punchlines here and there. I am good at word